Les colloques du Collège de France.
Thanks a lot. I mean, for you to being here and then still being here, I will be quick, I promise. I cut a lot of my slides, but I really want to start by thanking all you to be here. It's a big honor to have all these great speakers today. To be honest, it's a special day for me. This is the end of my stay here at the Collège de France. But it's a big celebration of science also. So I'm very honored, and I think we had a wonderful presentation today, and it's quite hard to wrap up or to finish up, right? So I will give you a bit of flavor of what we are doing in a lab, and I will try to wrap up and give some conclusion and thoughts for the future based on what we heard, which is a difficult exercise. So our interest is really in between designing polymer systems, mostly based on polypeptides, you will see. So that's, we've seen a lot of examples of the use of peptides, polypeptides, or even proteins to build really cool materials today. And one of the systems that we are very much interested in are polymeric vesicles, and I will explain you why. And what we do in the lab is trying to balance the design that we do and push it forward as much as we can to translational clinic, basically. And also we try to develop more and more complex systems and understand how the system can self-assemble in with the highest level of complexity, and going more and more into the dynamic self-assembly of the system. We heard a lot about that also today. I mean, that self-assembly is not only making structures that are passive, but really interacting with the environment and eventually respond to the environment. So I'll give you a flavor of what we do and how we do that. So in the field of nanomedicine, of course, you have plenty of different materials that we can use. Our favorite ones are vesicles, especially polymer vesicles. And the reason is that because the system, at least for us, are really very close to a model. And our model would be something that resembles what is a virus. And the virus, we all know that the virus is very much capable of recognizing cells. After recognition of the cells, entering the cells, and because of the change of pH that you have a change in protonation, the protonation state of the protein forming the capsid of the virus, opening of the virus, delivery of the genome and cell infection. So it's a very sophisticated phenomenon that, of course, we try to mimic when we design nanocarriers, basically, whatever nanocarriers. So with that in mind, of course, you can use different building blocks to do that, but we decided to use polymeric vesicles for some reason that have been presented today already. And of course, these polymeric vesicles, they have to be so-called smart or responsive to something. So we try to develop vesicles responsive to many different things. It can be pH, eventually with multiple pH responsive as Tim highlighted. It can be pH plus eventually magnetic response, so it can be internal or external triggers. We try to design systems that can respond also to more precise, triggers such as particular metalloproteins that would be present in the environment of tumors. We try to develop systems also that can be activable by magnetic field. Eventually, we incorporate into the system some recognition moieties in order to have some particular interactions. And the more recent development that we have been doing is really to develop something with nanoparticles, vesicles that can be responsive to X-ray. And this is what we are trying to transfer now to clinic in the context of the startup Doctanano. And here the idea is really to use X-ray to induce the delivery of drugs in a controlled manner in time and space and dose using clinically available X-ray system. So this would be probably the most promising technology that we had in hand over the last years. So I want to focus on that and show you some data on this for many reasons. And I want to focus more on fundamental things. And the fundamental thing is related to self-assembly. And one of the challenges that we wanted to face is answering this question. Can we design systems more complex than that? Still vesicles, but vesicles made of a multi-component system, not only polymer, but eventually a polymer plus lipids or proteins, multi-compartmentalized, and this would mimic, of course, the internal structure that we have in cells and organelles. Ayan has been presenting this morning, and eventually that at the multi-scale. And of course, this is not enough because the cell is not just basically vesicle and vesicle, but they're all dynamic. I mean, they change their organization, they cluster the different components on demand, basically to produce a different species. So this is this is what I want to highlight, and I want to highlight that with the angle of highlighting somehow the importance of chemical design, but how chemical design will impact the self-assembly properties, the dynamic behavior of the system, through the control of the thermodynamics of the systems and the phase diagram. And phase diagrams are very useful, and we always play around phase diagrams when we do this self-assembly with this particular alpha file. So, as Jan mentioned, we've been going step by step to more and more complex system over the last 20 years. And we basically started to produce polymeric vesicles that were just compartmentalized systems with here initially vesicles in vesicles. Well, the pointer, my two pointers are dead. I will try to do it this way. So we just put here vesicle in vesicle, just completely inert. We put eventually two vesicles, two different kind of vesicles with different colors. We make the membrane also with different asymmetric or different composition. This was the example that Jan highlighted this morning. I'm not coming back to here, but this was exactly the first example of a three enzyme cascade reactions confined into the system. But here again, we put everything together and it reacts, right? And more we've been going to system that can be dynamic, respond to triggers, and to induce a confinement, or to induce, let's say, coarservation mechanism. We hear a lot about that, and I will stress that a little bit later on. And how we can correlate this dynamic clustering of species to induce a controlled chemical reactions. This is really the challenge that we wanted to tackle. And so to tackle this challenge, we wanted to do it in a way that also mimics somehow what happened in nature. And in nature, if you look at cells and how cells can respond to osmotic deregulation in that case, eventually in hypertonic condition, what happens is that the cell will dehydrate, will concentrate the different species, you can form these internal organelles, and eventually here, due to that, you will create proteins, transmembrane proteins, pores that will insert at the surface and relax this pressure, basically. And we know now, since more than 10 years, that these internal organelles are very important, and they are really clustering reactive species and induce chemical reaction in a very confined manner. And here, again, it's on demand, only when cells need that, right? So we wanted to tackle this challenge, how we can mimic that. And basically, to mimic that, what we had to do is to build a system. So the system that we built is just a setup where we can produce in a double emulsion macrophilic system inspired by the work of William Heck. And basically here what we have is a membrane, so it's a vesicle. We keep a reservoir of oil here containing lipids in order to allow swelling and shrinking of the system. So we can now induce osmotic pressure deregulation, keeping the membrane, because if we don't do that, I mean, the membrane will just burst. Now the key thing is to have the right component. And the right component is to take a polymer, and the polymer that we've been taking here is a particular protein, which is a protein which is a mimic of intrinsically disordered proteins, which are ELPs, elastin-like polypeptides, and this polymer are thermoresponsive. So you can look at the phase diagram of this thermoresponsive polymer like this. So you have here soluble chain, and if you increase temperature, you will induce not the precipitation, but the coarservation of the system. But you can look at the phase diagram also in that direction, meaning that if you increase the concentration, you can go this way, you can cross the phase diagram this way. And this is what we wanted to do. So if you zoom on this phase diagram and plot the cloud point as function of concentration in log here, you have this behavior. And we can be in condition where here we are above room temperature. And now if we increase concentration, that can be induced by osmotic pressure, we can end up with this coarservation mechanism while keeping temperature at the same value, basically, because the idea would be to induce that without changing temperature. If we want to work in living systems, temperature doesn't change that much. So does it work? Indeed, we can do that. If you really play in an appropriate way around this particular phase diagram, this is what we did here. So you can play with this phase diagram, and you can add sucrose outside of your system, shrink your vesicle. By shrinking the vesicle, you increase the concentration, and by increasing the concentration, you see that you have here recently labeled ELP with homogeneous distribution, and here you form coacervate into the system. Next was to conjugate this protein together with an enzyme, and now if we conjugate with, especially with HRP, now you have an enzyme that can convert complex red into resorifin, and you will create fluorescence into the system. So what happened, to make the story short, if you start with the system without osmotic shock, basically nothing happened, or the reaction is very slow of the enzymatic reaction. And now, as you can see here, if you shrink your vesicles and add a substrate in the system, you can really accelerate the production of the of your resorifin in a very controlled manner. So this was one of the first examples of how you can induce an enzymatic reaction that can be kinetically and dynamically controlled by osmotic stress into the system, and eventually in a reversible manner, even though it's not 100% reversible. So it opens again a lot of opportunities in controlling reactions in an induced manner in interactions with cells eventually. Another example, and this is the last example I wanted to show you, is in the context of making systems that can be motile, especially systems that can follow or induce their own gradient of concentration to be motile due to chemotaxis. And the idea here is to basically follow gradient of, for example, glucose, that are very important in environment of some tissues, to direct nanoparticles to these organs or to these interfaces. So how to do that? To do that, I mean, you can use different building blocks, and I will only focus on vesicles. So you have to make vesicle asymmetric, because if you want to create a gradient, you need to create a dissymmetry of your vesicle. So you can do that by your phase separation that you can induce by mixing polymers or polymers and lipids. You can induce a shape asymmetry, and this is basically what Jan has been doing over the past decades, and it works nicely. You can also make hybrid of polymers and metal, basically, and eventually you can make a combination of all of that. We wanted to focus on these polymeric vesicles because we wanted to keep vesicle intact to be able to load eventually hydrophilic and hydrophobic molecules together. And the key question here is how we can produce asymmetric polymeric vesicles in high yield. Not only, you know, producing one or two that you can zoom on a nice microscopic image, but really producing them in a high yield in a reproducible manner. So this is the challenge that Eloise Key tackled during her PhD. She just finished up. And here the idea is, again, very basic, very fundamental. And we came back to very fundamental things. The rationale was to, if we want to induce a phase separation inside the membrane, you can take the hydrophobic polymer or mix two polymers with the same hydrophilic block but with different hydrophobic molecules or the hydrophobic building blocks and just mix them together and assemble them together. Many people try that. And very often, the system are metastable. In other words, I mean, so you need to add some stabilizers at the interface, or you need to play in conditions so that the system has to be frozen, or the system will be stable but for a very short period of time. So how can we make that more efficient, and how can we design the system in a more rational manner? And this is what we wanted to do. So the key thing is to, again, come back to very basic things. So this is the Gibbs free energy of mixing of the hydrophobic blocks. And we just described the system with that. And you know that if you have two block copolymers or two polymers that you mix together, if their mixing energy is negative, they will be miscible. And if it's positive, it will be immiscible. And of course, if you describe, I mean, this simple equation, because it's very simple, you have different key elements here that are the miscibility will depend on the polymer nature, which will be described through the interaction parameter, the Fluorescence parameter. The composition is important, volume fraction of the two blocks. The degree of polymerization of your system, that will control somehow the entropic constraint of the system, and temperature. So these are all the parameters that you need to control, and most of them you know them, or all of them you know them if you take, you know, polymers that you know together. So instead of mixing randomly different polymers together, we just rationally choose appropriate polymers. And so let's start with this example. So you here, PEG will be the main component, or the hydrophilic component. We'll just change the hydrophobic block. Now if you mix polybutadiene with polytrimethylene and carbonate together, you will end up with a phase diagram like this, always positive. And you can take whatever composition of your system, what will happen is that you will create two kind of vesicles, separate from each other. So you, basically, you cast a film, you rehydrate the film, you will never have vesicles mixing two polymers together, only separated vesicles. And here, the incompatibility is too high, delta G is too high, so the polymer will induce a complete phase separation into your system. Now, if we take these two pairs of polymer, polybutadiene now, but now with PDMS, with this particular ratio, particular molecular weight, now you have a much more interesting phase diagram. Theoretically, you have a slightly negative positive value. You see here it's about 100 times lower, the positive value, and now you can have a negative point also. And here in that case, if you play in this 50-50 composition, you will end up indeed with asymmetric Janus-like vesicles. And these systems are very stable, and again, high yield of production. It's 95% or 99% of vesicles which are like that. And so if you play with a now slightly incompatible polymer with a slightly positive delta G, you will induce a phase separation, but only inside the membrane. So how precise is that? It's very precise if you look at it. And now if you just change the length of the PDMS, and you see that we have a common polybutadiene, DP22, and PDMS will go from 23, 27, 36. So we started from the green point here. We are slightly positive. Now if you are just playing with a polymer that is a bit smaller, they will be homogeneous. This will be in that case. And if now your polymer is slightly with a higher molar mass, now you will have a phase separation, complete phase separation of your system. So it has to be very precise, very accurate. It means that you have to control also your polymerization in a very good way. Of course, it's all about thermodynamics, and you can easily play with temperature. Temperature is a nice trigger you can play with. So we can now make these vesicles at high temperature. At high temperature, you will be negative here. So basically, you will have vesicles that will be homogeneous. Here you have partial mixing. You have small domains of the different system. And after cooling down, you will induce the phase separation within the membrane without inducing a complete phase separation of the vesicles. And of course, now this is interesting because it allows you to produce your system. And you can really produce your vesicles by preparing them at high temperature, extruding them to recalibrate at the right size. And this is what we did. Basically, we did a recalibration at 5 micron. And now you have a nice population of vesicles at 5 micron. If you look at the distribution, you can have a narrow distribution of size of the vesicles. And as you can see here, they are about 95% about 1,000 vesicles measured together of these Janus vesicles. So you can really produce high scale, high yield of this Janus vesicle together. And so with all this accurate control of the phase diagram, now this allows you to really predict what you're going to do. And you see that the region where you will have Janus is very tiny. You need to be in this very tiny region. If you have a delta G that are a bit higher, you will have a phase separation of the vesicles. And even though you prepare them Janus because you force them, they will phase separate. And the key thing here is that the Janus that we prepare in this condition are stable for at least 9 months. And they can be stable for probably longer time. So we are very close, basically, to the thermodynamic equilibrium of the system. So, of course, we do that, and I will not show you any results with that, but we do that to asymmetrically functionalize the vesicles in order to induce motility. And now we can really create high yield of this vesicle, asymmetric, and we can eventually look at collective motion of this vesicle and study a lot of interesting phenomena. So I just want to wrap up. I've been trying to be quick, but to wrap up, of course, the big picture of that is to eventually, and many people working on this protocell mimic is really to develop system that can mimic cells, but mimicking cells to, as Jan mentioned this morning, to understand some behaviors, but eventually to create something that can be useful, interact with cells, communicate with cells. There's plenty of cool things that we would like to address. And the key parameters are all here. It's to control how the system self-assemble, how you will create a stable compartmentalization, how you will induce a dynamic behavior of the system, and of course, playing with as compatible as possible building blocks that you're going to use. So I just want to finish up here, thank all the people involved in that work, all my collaborators of the LCPO, all the students involved in that work that I mentioned already. I mean, collaboration is super important, and I'm very happy to collaborate with some of you. I would like to thank all the group. This is the photo that we had last year at the lab retreat. Everybody's look happy. And I'd like to thank you all for your attention. And again, thank you all for being here. This has been a nice time with all of you, and I really appreciate it to be there. So thank you. Yeah, I think we can go. I don't know if you have time for questions.
Okay.
I can conclude directly, yes. if you are okay. So I don't want to give a big speech of conclusion, but my conclusion would be on this photo somehow. This is my last exercise that I have to do here at the Collège de France. So first of all, I really like to acknowledge the Fondation Bettencourt for the recognition of, for the funding of this chair, and the Collège de France for giving me this opportunity. This has been a very nice opportunity, and I think the spirit of the Collège de France and of this chair is really to provide science at the highest level to everyone. And I really like very much this thing. Today we have been very lucky to have all of you here. I hope you all learn a lot. I mean, I learned a lot, even though I know all of you, but it was great to have the most recent advances of the work and the big picture of what you are all doing. So it's really spectacular. And the thing is that if you look at this field, so the field was biomimicry in general and especially related to pollen. I think biomimicry now goes beyond what we can mimic to nature. So for many years we tried to get inspiration from nature, but I think we can go beyond that in the sense that we can create materials that can be eventually more sophisticated than nature. And we have been seeing a lot of cool examples today. Designing systems that can interact with nature is really nice. We also learn a lot about transition from making materials in a static way at the thermodynamic equilibrium. It's important, but getting out of that and playing with dynamic system that can be remodulated when interacting with the living system is really nice. And we have been seeing a lot of examples. Motility is nice from Sab's work. We've been seeing the nice example from Professor Kataoka's work also on how system can interact into blood flow and how this interaction can be tuned and can be played with. So it's really things that we have to consider for the future design of materials. I highlighted a lot polypeptides during all my different lectures here during my presentation. I think polypeptides and proteins, for me, I mean, I do see all the systems together, right? They have the common feature. And these polymers go much beyond what you can do with classical polymers and plastics. You can do a lot of things. And Raffaele showed nice examples on how, you know, we can denature waste made of protein to create fantastic polymers. You can really accurately put information into the polypeptide, the peptide chain, to induce particular self-assembly, eventually dynamic self-assembly, in a very controlled manner. So I think this building block also have a big promise for the future. The chemistry is special to make them, but I think now we can really control all aspects in terms of both chemistry, but together with controlling how the system interact and self-assemble altogether. So with all of that, I mean, I wrote a speech. I mean, for the conclusion, but I will not read it. I will not go much far from that. But I just want to again thank you all. Thanks for still being here. Thanks for all the friends for coming there. And I hope we're going to have many other opportunities to interact and see together. Thanks to all of you.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.